Well, hi there, folks. Welcome to the podcast. This, of course, is Stinchfield, the podcast. I want to talk to you about a little African country called Niger. N-I-G-E-R. Have you heard of it? Maybe in passing. Do you know we have a $100 million air base in Niger with about 1,000 U.S. troops there? And those U.S. troops right now cannot get food, water, or medicine. They are virtually being held hostage there. The government of Niger, controlled by the military, after this wild coup, says they want United States members of the military out of the country. The Biden administration has now said, okay, we'll move those military members out. No timeline as to when this will happen, and no word on what's going to happen to our $100 million air base. I am worried what we are going to experience in Niger is exactly what we experienced in Afghanistan, quite possibly what we experienced in Benghazi. I wouldn't know about this. You wouldn't know about this if it wasn't for the congressman from Florida, Matt Gaetz, who blew the whistle on all of this. A potential Benghazi, potential Afghanistan withdrawal that could leave American service members dead, while right now they are virtually being held hostage in this tiny country. So today I want to talk about that. I'm going to run a piece of Matt Gaetz' highlight tape from him questioning Defense Department officials and generals about the situation. And it's fascinating to listen to. And then we'll interview Matt Gaetz as well. So this program, of course, is brought to you by Midas Gold Group. I urge you to check the folks out there. MidasGoldGroup.com, MidasGoldGroup.com. A lot of chaos going on in the world. Midas can help you protect your finances with gold. It has stood the test of time. MidasGoldGroup.com. All right, with that, folks, let's get the show started and let's talk about Niger.
Uncensored and unapologetic, this is Stinchfield. Here's your host, Grant Stinchfield.
All right, welcome everyone. Yes, the show is brought to you by Midas Gold Group. Don't forget about my website, grantstinchfield.com, grantstinchfield.com. Please sign up for the email list there and subscribe. Niger is a country that has been affected by what amounts to a coup, a violent coup. The military has overtaken the country, and now they say they want United States military out of that country. Well, we just built a $100 million air base there. And what are we supposed to do? Leave it behind? Here's the thing. We are not getting our service members help over there. They're basically trapped. I would offer up being held hostage in Niger. The mainstream media is not reporting on this. Mainstream press isn't reporting on this. Even conservative media is few and far between on reporting on this. Thankfully, Matt Gaetz has been blowing the whistle on this. The congressman from Florida, Republican, of course. And he had Defense Department officials on the hot seat about what is going on there as he tries to get to the bottom of it. And he put together a little piece of that, as well as going back to previous questioning he did to prove that, I don't know, seems to me like they're lying about what's going on. My biggest concern through all of this is the safety and well-being of our men and women who wear a flag on their shoulder that are stationed in Niger that are not being able to come off duty, scheduled rotations as is required. They're stuck there. When are we getting them out? Will we safely get them out? And do I trust the Biden administration to get them out? No is the answer to that question. So with that, let me play this clip of Matt Gaetz questioning Defense Department officials on the situation there. Take a listen, and he does such a fabulous job at it.
Secretary Woolworth, there's train and equip money requested in this budget, right?
Certainly, Congressman.
And the train and equip mission in Niger is owned by the Army, right?
Yes, we certainly provide soldiers for that, yes.
General, do you know what is going on in Niger right now?
I know there's some challenges over there in Niger right now, and I don't think that we are actually in charge of that mission that's on the ground.
Well, yeah, we just heard the secretary say you've got soldiers there, so we're gonna dive into that to some extent. Do you know what the status is of diplomatic overflights to our installations in Niger?
Yeah, I'm vaguely tracking that that's a challenge.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's not a challenge. It's binary. Are we allowed right now to do diplomatic overflights in Niger? Yes or no?
I don't know. I don't know exactly.
You know,
I'm not tracking
Madam Secretary,
that close.
Do you know if we're allowed to do those diplomatic overflights?
I don't, but I'm sure the AFRICOM commander does.
Yeah, but you guys just said it's in the budget you're asking for to do these train and equip missions. One of them is in Niger. In Niger right now, the government has stopped us from doing diplomatic overflight missions. So we have Army soldiers right now in Niger who aren't getting their troop rotations, who aren't getting their medicine, who aren't getting their supplies, who aren't getting their mail, and the two senior people in the United States Army are sitting before me, and it's like, hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. Are you going to do anything for the soldiers that are in Niger right now who can't get medicine? Yes or no?
Congressman, certainly. We can talk to General Langley and make sure that...
Oh, I've talked to General Langley. He comes in here and never has really good answers. I mean, I asked him for information about how many of the coup leaders we had trained, including in Niger, and Ghana, and Mali, and the Ivory Coast. This is Colonel Mamadé Doumbouya, and this is a photo of him. Did we train and equip him?
By name, I cannot identify that.
Well, that's him with a bunch of U.S. service members outside of our embassy. And just months after this photo was taken in 2021, he led a coup in Guinea and threw out the leader. Does that concern you?
Congressman, core values. It's what we start off with in IMA programs.
Do we share core values with Colonel Doumbouya?
Core values. I will repeat that.
He led a coup?
We do.
First, I asked you in that clip, how many coup leaders did we train? You didn't know. And so then I put it in the law for you to tell me. The law requires you to tell me by tomorrow. So can you give us a preview of coming attractions?
You get that. You'll get your answer, Congressman.
Just
but let me say, there's no correlation. And there's no causation of U.S. training to these members.
Well, that's what I'm trying to find out, because in like a dozen countries, the coup leaders are people we trained. Like, what a difference a year makes. March 16th, 2023, Secretary Blinken calls Niger, quote, a model of resilience, a model of democracy, a model of cooperation. 1 year and 1 day later, Dr. Wallander, the spokesperson of the Nigeri military, Colonel Amadou Amabrame, says, quote, the American presence in the territory of the Republic of Niger is illegal. A year and a day after our government said they were the model of resilience and democracy, they are throwing us out by the scruffs of our neck. And he didn't even produce his report on time. So pardon me for a lack of confidence in General Langley. What I'm telling the two of you is that you have a responsibility for these soldiers in Niger. And General, you would agree with me with the premise that we should never sacrifice the well-being of our service members to avoid political embarrassment, right?
Congressman, I will tell you, I'm not tracking that somebody in Niger is not getting their medicine or their mail, but I will, follow up.
You don't even know the status of diplomatic overflights. How about the great power competition? You would agree on train and equip missions. We would never want Russian soldiers at the U.S. installation where we're doing train and equip, right? That's not even a tough question. You would agree?
Yes.
And so if there were Russian soldiers behind the wire at Airbase 101 in Niger, where we have soldiers doing the train and equip mission, that would concern you, wouldn't it? Right. Well, I'm here to tell you we've received reports that they run out of medicine in May, that they cannot get their troop rotations. And you know why you don't know that? Because it's a cover-up. Because the U.S. Embassy in Niger is covering it up because of Secretary Blinken's embarrassment. Because Blinken went there in March of 2023 and said this was the centerpiece of our Africa strategy. This was the model of resilience. And then, lo and behold, the very coup leader we trained takes over the country. And then we struggle with whether or not to call it a coup. We've now called it a coup. Since we've called it a coup, now they won't let us get folks in and out. And so I'm looking at what could erupt as another Benghazi, where there is no mission to do. There is no train and equip right now with the coup leaders. So we got a bunch of people sitting around without their supplies, without their medicine. And the whole reason intelligence isn't getting to us is because the embassy is blocking it because Blinken is humiliated that this failed. And I've used my 5 minutes on everything in the Army right now because I have constituents who are there in Niger and they're wondering how to get water. Did you know they can't even get clean water? Did you know that the partner nations that we have at that base with our soldiers, the partner nations, the Italians and the Germans, they've stopped cooperating with us. They won't even help us get provisions to our troops because of the status of forces agreement that we have with the government being deemed invalid. I am just a country lawyer from North Florida, but this strikes me as something the two of you should know about. I get the blank stares, but Secretary Warmoth, can I take as your commitment that you are going to leave here and you're going to see to the well-being of these folks in Niger and that they can get the rotations and the medicine they need?
Certainly, I will make sure they're getting the medicine and the water that they need. Yes, Congressman.
Great. Mr. Chairman, I have a number of unanimous consent requests. First, an article from Politico. It's like a bad movie. U.S. officials who helped train Nigeria troops reel from coup.
Without objection, so ordered.
Russian troops arrive in Niger as military agreement begins, and from the BBC.
Without objection, so ordered.
Uranium, Niger termination of U.S. military ties followed accusation of uranium deal, March 17th, 2024, from the Wall Street Journal.
Without objection, so ordered. Gentlemen, time's expired.
Folks, you see what's going on here to break down everything that is happening. This is an absolute outrage. When you think they can't get clean water, the general and the Department of Defense woman, they blank stares is what Matt Gaetz said. That's what you were getting. I don't even think they know about it. Why don't they know about it? Again, it comes back to the State Department. This was the problem in Benghazi. The State Department wants to cover up embarrassing foreign policy decisions. We know that Secretary Blinken, the Secretary of State, wanted to have great success in Niger. Instead, the country falls into a coup. We've got a $100 million air base there that's now going to be given back to who? Military rebels? We're going to try to get 1,000 U.S. service members out of that country. Hopefully, there is an attack on them like Benghazi. And to think that the cover-up of this is going on and it starts at the State Department and Department of Defense officials don't know what a country lawyer from North Florida knows. That's Matt Gaetz. He sells himself short, by the way. He does great work in Congress and he knows it, but he's making a point there that these Pentagon officials ought to know exactly what's going on. These are our men and women. And it gets to the heart of the problem with the Biden administration. They don't care about America. They certainly don't care about our men and women who wear a flag on their shoulder. They don't care about doing what's right. They only care about power. And if it's not about their power, they're not going to think about it. To me, that is a disgusting, disgusting showing from those Pentagon officials. And it goes all the way to the Biden administration, straight through the State Department. So I'm going to play my interview I did with Matt Gaetz. But before I do that, folks, I want to tell you about my good friends over at Patriot Mobile. You know, I have a Patriot Mobile phone, and I urge you to get one too. I love the phone, but even more than the phone, I love the company. And I love saying I'm with Patriot Mobile because it tells the world how I feel about where I spend my money. It tells the world about how I feel about what companies I'm going to support. Patriot Mobile is putting itself out there on the front lines of defending freedom, putting in God We Trust signs in schools, supporting right to life issues, Second Amendment issues, all of these types of things, veterans. This is why I want some of my money when I pay for my cell phone bill every month to go to Patriot Mobile and the programs that they support because it's about moving the country in the right direction. God bless Patriot Mobile. I urge you to make the switch today. Don't wait anymore. You hear me talk about Patriot Mobile all the time. Just do it today. PatriotMobile.com/Grant. PatriotMobile.com/Grant. Call them at 972-PATRIOT. 972-PATRIOT. Easy. Use the promo code GRANT. Get free activation. That's a nice savings. A promo code GRANT. Again, call them at 972-PATRIOT and tell them Grant Stinchfield sent you. All right. My interview with Matt Gaetz, I want to run it in its entirety, talk a little bit about Mike Johnson as well, the Speaker of the House. All this gets back to weakness in Washington, whether it's on behalf of the Biden administration, whether it's on behalf of Republicans, it's weakness. and it's got everybody down. But my first priority, these men and women in Niger, got to get them out of there, got to get them out safely. And at the very least, we have to get them help there where they are virtually being held hostage. So this is Matt Gaetz on the Real America's Voice show.
Well, we wouldn't know about this if it wasn't for the Republican congressman from Florida, our good friend Matt Gaetz. Congressman, welcome back to the show.
Well, thanks for having me, Grant.
So a lot to break down here, but let's start with the story that you uncovered. And you say they're covering it up, this situation in Niger. Can you explain to me what's going on here?
There was a coup in Niger. It'll surprise no one that we trained the coup leaders. And before that coup happened, you had Biden and Blinken claiming that Niger was going to be the centerpiece of their Africa strategy. We've sunk billions of dollars into this country. We have a $500 million base there. And the troops who are there, some of them are my constituents. And they've reached out to me to say, Congressman, because the government here changed, we no longer have permission to get food and clean water and medicine. And we've sent intelligence reports saying we need to retrograde and get out of here. And the State Department has concealed those reports. They've covered it up because Joe Biden and Tony Blinken would rather avoid their own embarrassment than do the right thing for our troops. They're having to plan whether or not they're going to evacuate through Ghana if, in fact, some Benghazi-style attack occurs. So I know Niger is not a country that people think about regularly, but think about those 1,100 troops who are over there wondering what's going to happen to them when they run out of medicine, abandoned by Joe Biden.
Yeah, and so, look, we know it was under the Obama administration with an inept State Department run, of course, by Hillary Clinton. Joe Biden was right there as vice president. You think we're out of line by saying this could fall into another Benghazi situation? And then what do we do? I don't have any faith with this commander in chief to get our men and women out of harm's way if that were to happen.
It could be a Benghazi. It could also be a situation like at the military installation in Afghanistan. You see, if we retrograde our equipment soon enough, then it won't fall into the hands of ISIS or Boko Haram or some hostile entity, either government or non-government. But when we have to make these hasty decisions because we're unable to confront facts, that's when Americans really fall into grave harm. And the thing that boils my blood is that any responsible person would say the first thing, the most important thing, is the safety of our troops. The most important thing is not whether or not Joe Biden and the Secretary of State Tony Blinken are embarrassed for burning billions of dollars in Niger that now won't result in a safer security apparatus in Africa or anywhere else.
Well, we know about the dead Marines in Afghanistan that lay at the feet now of the White House. Sadly, I don't want to see this happen in Niger. If that were to happen, it would be another travesty. All this, of course, connected to just absolute chaos. I mean, Matt Gaetz, what we're seeing now never would have happened under President Trump. I know we all say that, but we had peace basically around the world. It is a disaster. You guys are taking up this foreign aid bill, $95 billion. What do you make of it? Problems? You okay with it? Where do you stand?
Any Republican who votes to proceed onto this foreign aid bill is basically part of the invasion, because you're surrendering the only leverage we had with Schumer and Biden to actually get meaningful changes on the border to stop the type of murders that we saw with Lake and Riley. Shame on anyone who is willing to care more about the eastern border of Ukraine than the southern border of the United States. I'm incredibly grateful that President Trump provided great clarity on this subject. He put out a Truth Social post today. I encourage everyone to read it. The fundamental premise is that Europe can end this war anytime they want to. President Trump's not against all lethal aid in every circumstance. Matter of fact, he was giving lethal aid that was actually saving lives and deterring invasion. The problem is the Biden administration has no way to define victory. When I asked senior Biden officials in armed services, are you going to fight this war until Crimea is repatriated? Their answer was yes. And that is problematic because it mires us in these forever conflicts without a discernible outcome. And I think that President Trump's leadership really presented the great opportunity for peace to flourish. That's what we're for, peace, not war. We had it under President Trump because we were stronger and, frankly, because we were less predictable. People don't talk about this a lot, but I view President Trump's unpredictability as a bit of a strength because it keeps the dictators on their best behavior.
Absolutely. When you don't know what he is about to do, but you do know what he's capable of doing, then you're off of your game and you're afraid of what's to come. It keeps everybody in check. So we've got this situation now where I believe President Trump is correct that Europe could stop this thing if it wanted to right away. But we also have a battle going on inside the House of Representatives. I heard craziness of names being thrown around. Everybody called Republicans fighting with Republicans. What I don't understand, Congressman, is how does a Republican not agree with you on this when we simply want some form of border security? And I'm not even saying it needs to be money. It could literally be policy changes that we demand out of this. Change some laws to ensure that you can't just have this parole to release pipeline that he's got.
It, in fact, is the policy that matters more than the money. Trying to solve the problem at the border with money is kind of like trying to solve an exploding fire hydrant with buckets. You have to cut off the flow if you want the circumstances to get better, and it's the policy changes that will cut off the flow. And the great news is we don't have to think of some novel new policy widget to deploy to the border. It's the Trump policies. It's the very Trump policies that Joe Biden reveled in repealing that would actually restore order to the southern border.
So as you play this out now, Speaker Johnson holds some responsibility for all of this. There's this motion to vacate without privilege by Marjorie Taylor Greene. Massey said he may join. He wants to get four or five others to join. There's this idea of saying, all right, well, we'll get him to resign, come to an agreement of who would take his place before this all plays out. This is a disaster again. I think maybe just let Speaker Johnson limp on in to November and a new Congress. And if we don't get a lot out of Congress, to me, that's really not such a bad thing.
Let me offer a perspective that would bolster that viewpoint. We have a one-seat majority right now. When I successfully executed a motion to vacate, we had a four-seat majority, and I did all the war gaming and ran the traps, and I came on your program and many others and said we would not end up with a Democrat Speaker of the House no matter what. When you have a one-seat majority, and this is uncomfortable to talk about, I believe there are two or three Republicans that could get bought off, paid off, to switch, to retire, to resign, to feign some sort of health problem so that Democrats would be in control. And by the way, if Democrats got control of the speakership, I believe they would refuse to seat President Trump even after a lawful, valid election for him for president of the United States. That's how big the stakes are. That's how much of an enemy to democracy House Democrats really have shown to be, trying to deem Trump an insurrectionist and not allow him to be a choice for the people of our country who want to return to the prosperity at home and the peace around the world that President Trump provided. So I believe there's grave danger in a motion to vacate, because I think there are not a lot, but there might be a small handful of Republicans who are financially compromisable or compromisable on other terms in order to get a Democrat Speaker of the House. That would be intolerable, and it might be the last election we have.
You know, I think you're right. And it took me a few days to come to this conclusion. I ran out every scenario and I said, you know what? The safest play here is, as I said, limp on in with Speaker Johnson. Maybe we force him to act a little tougher. But come January of next year, I am confident, and I'll give you the last word on this, Matt. I am confident we're going to have a very big majority, much bigger than one seat come January.
I think we'll have a bigger majority than we deserve, because President Trump is going to turn out a class of voter who have shown a willingness to go all the way down the ballot and vote for Republicans who they believe will have President Trump's back. So, yeah, I think there'll probably be a lot of Republicans who don't even deserve reelection who will get reelected because President Trump will be such a force on the ballot. And then we've got to get a Republican Party in Congress that is a fighting force again. It's not enough to just keep surrendering to the foreign interests abroad and the special interests here at home. My hope is with President Trump as the clarion leader in the White House will stiffen the spines of some of these folks who've gone weak on us lately.
Hey, the bottom line is he stiffened the spine the last time around. As soon as he leaves office, everybody becomes amoebas again. It's like the craziest thing. So I think you're right. Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz, it's always great to see you, buddy. Thank you for coming on.
Thank you, my friend.
All right. So that is the great Congressman Matt Gaetz. Really is what he's called himself, the firebrand. That's what he is up in Washington. We need more people like him. Sadly, there's just not enough. I do believe reinforcements will come next time around, next January. We'll have reinforcements. President Trump's going to help with that. And he's probably right. There's some who will get elected that don't deserve to be elected on the coattails of President Trump. I want to get to the situation with Columbia University, the craziness going on over there, this hatred for the Jews, I'm gonna just say it. Islamic jihadists have infiltrated college campuses across America. Ground zero for that is, of course, Columbia University. We'll get to that in just a minute. Wait till you see this this questioning done by my man Ben Berkwam on the campus of Columbia University. Really quite stunning when you see this. But before we get there, folks, I want to tell you about my friends at Midas Gold Group. MidasGoldGroup.com is where I want you to go. Now is the time to put your money into precious metals. It is imperative. We see uncertainty in the stock market. We certainly see uncertainty across the globe. We know that China is waging war on the dollar. We know that just about every central bank across the globe is taking money out of U.S. dollars and putting it into gold. Why wouldn't you go where the smart money is? Not to mention, gold is a commodity you can hold. The privacy, the safety, the security of it is really imperative. Here's how you do it. Just get in touch with the veteran-owned Midas Gold Group, a group that I really do trust. I've known them for a long time. They're committed to this podcast and my radio show, MidasGoldGroup.com. Please go there. Talk to them about how much is right for you, but I think you need to start the process of investing in gold. 855-322-GOLD, 855-322-GOLD. That's the number to call them. MidasGoldGroup.com. So many of my listeners are happy with them. I am too. I'm super happy with Midas Gold Group. I urge you, give them a call. A lot of gold groups out there. This one you can trust, MidasGoldGroup.com. All right. We now have seen, folks, the unraveling of college campuses. The Muslim jihadists have infiltrated college campuses across America. It's the only way to explain it. Hatred for the Jews is now on display in a public way. People aren't even shying away from it, which is just disgusting to me on so many levels. Well, we know that Columbia University now has canceled in-person classes, letting the terrorists win, by the way. Anytime you change the way you're going to go through your life, the terrorists have won. And yes, I call them terrorists. There are comments. They say, we are Hamas. I just saw another comment. Every day will be October 7th. That's not what you want to hear on American soil. What about death to America? Death to Israel? We hear those chants on a daily, if not hourly, basis on these college campuses. Well, my buddy Ben Berkwam went to Columbia, and he approached these lunatics out there. These are Columbia University professors and staff members refusing to denounce chants of death to America, death to Israel on college campuses. Just watch this.
Can we at least agree Hamas is a terrorist organization? And chanting death to America or death to Israel is not acceptable on a college campus. Anyone? Can I get agreement from anyone? Is chanting death to America or death to Israel unacceptable on college campuses? Anyone? I guess not. I guess it's okay in Columbia.
It's not okay.
It's not okay. Awesome. Anyone else? I got one. One guy said it's not okay to chant death to Israel and death to America on college campuses. I got one. Anyone else that would agree with that?
Nobody else agrees. Are you kidding me? Those are professors, staff members, workers at Columbia University. I would imagine some of them are even Jewish. And no one will denounce chants of death to America. This is the greatest nation in the world, folks. This is the most powerful. This is the brightest. This is the most unique. This is the most exceptional nation on earth. And it's because all of you, it's because of the people that make us so exceptional. That makes us not only look bad, but it's an embarrassment. It's an embarrassment for this nation, and it's an embarrassment for Columbia University. They ought to be ashamed of themselves. Every single administrator that is either remaining silent or not turning this situation around ought to resign or be fired instantly. You know, Robert Kraft, the owner of the New England Patriots, said he's no longer going to be donating to these Ivy League schools. He says enough is enough. This nonsense of supporting pro-Hamas lunatics while turning their back on Jewish folks, American Jewish folks, not just Israel turning your back on, but literally Jews here on American soil. born and raised Americans who practice Judaism. These colleges now have turned their backs on them. I don't like relating anything to Nazi Germany, but what I'm seeing, the hatred, the all-out vitriol, the chance of death and murder and destruction, it sure seems like it's a throwback to Nazi Germany, and I despise even using that as an example because it's about the most serious example you can bring up. These people ought to be ashamed of themselves. All right, folks, remember, GrantStinchfield.com is the website, GrantStinchfield.com. Sign up for the email list so I can get in touch with you. That would be great. Stinchfield1776 on most social media platforms. Not Grant Stinchfield on TikTok is a great place to find me as well. But love Instagram, Twitter. I battle it out there on both those places. Facebook as well, battling it out. Go find me, follow. And of course, hit the like button if you're watching this video on Facebook or Rumble or YouTube. Hit the like button, share, and subscribe, please. It helps us get the message out, and this is about taking back this country. God bless all of you. Stinchfield's Army rolls. We'll see you tonight on the Real America's Voice show. Thanks for watching, everybody.